Well, good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person today. I've not had a good night and I'm not feeling well enough to be with you today. I hope you have a great morning together and an even better lunch. I'm sorry we can't be at Angie's today. I just hope it's a great time for everyone as you get together over a meal. And I know it's not ideal to be pre-recording this sermon. But I was kind of left with no option. So, look, here we go. Today, we begin a new series in John's Gospel, as I said. The title of the series is Meet Jesus. And there's a couple of reasons for this. In the opening chapters of his Gospel, John is introducing Jesus, he's giving us, his readers, an opportunity to meet him. The second reason is this year a whole bunch of churches and university ministries will be running a Meet Jesus mission, introducing people to Jesus in the pages of John's Gospel on campuses right throughout the country. I wanted us to get on board with this. I want us to take the opportunity to not only re-meet Jesus in the opening chapters of John's Gospel, but also to take the opportunity to introduce him to others. To give others, family, friends, and neighbors, the opportunity to meet Jesus as he truly is in the pages of John's Gospel. Which leads me to the title, the theme of this first sermon in the series, which is Come and See. You'll see that in the outline on the inside of your service sheet. I should also add, as way of introduction, that we are starting this series in John. At chapter 1, verse 19, because you might remember at the end of last year, in the lead up to Christmas, we spent a few weeks, more than a few weeks actually, three, maybe four, in John 1, verses 1 to 18. Those verses are John's amazing big picture introduction to his gospel. Today we pick it up in verse 19. So let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for John's Gospel and the opportunity we have to meet Jesus again and introduce him to others so that they may truly meet him. Please teach us more about your Son so that we may grow in faith and love and hope. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand that Helen was going to share something of her story in how she came to meet Jesus, some little bits and pieces about that. And we certainly all have our own story, don't we? We all have those important people that God placed in our life to introduce us to Jesus, often family members. And this is what we see in today's passage, starting with John the Baptist. So I'm at point one, John the Baptist's testimony. When questioned by the Jerusalem authorities out in the desert on the other side of the Jordan, John the Baptist testified. Negatively, he testified, "I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." Positively, he testified in the words of Isaiah the prophet, verse 23. Not sure if you can see this on the screen. Depends on how Mark and the tech guys go. Isaiah 40, verse 3. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. This is a quote from Isaiah 40, verse 3 in the Old Testament. Isaiah foretold that one would come and prepare the way for the Lord. In other words, the Lord is coming. God Himself is coming to save His people once and for all, a final, decisive act that no one will miss. And John the Baptist prepares the way by baptizing with water, a symbol of cleansing, of forgiveness for those who repent, for those who turn from sin to God. John the Baptist testifies in verse 26. He says, I baptize with water, but one among you stands who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. So someone greater is near. Let's read on from verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So John saying that he was before me hints at Jesus' divinity. But the standout testimony here is, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is an amazing testimony, an amazing prophecy. At the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, John the Baptist foretells that Jesus is going to die, to be sacrificed in order to take away the sin of the world. At the time of saying this, it was lambs and goats and other offerings that were sacrificed at the temple for the forgiveness of sins. This was for the Jews only, not the whole world. But Jesus is our Lamb of God. He died to take away our sin, your sin, my sin. I think most people know that Jesus died on a cross. They can say that. They know that's true. And I reckon a good number of people would know or be able to say Jesus died for our sin. But I wonder how many people truly understand the depth of their sin, what sin actually is, how offensive it is to a holy God, what the consequences of sin are, and justly so. How many people truly understand what Jesus experienced on the cross, the price he paid, the cup that he drank? How many people comprehend that he experienced all that for my sin, for how I have treated God and how I have treated others? The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. That means my sin, your sin. He died for what we have done. He has paid the price so that we don't have to. We will never drink the cup of God's wrath because our Lamb has drunk it for us. We are forgiven and free. We are washed, which takes us to John the Baptist's next testimony in verse 32. Then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one. Now, the Spirit as a dove, it often gets depicted in images, in paintings and so on, stained glass windows, as like a literal dove kind of flying down from heaven. If the guys have got my PowerPoint, they'll show you an image. But I don't think that we should be imagining a literal dove. John is trying to describe the indescribable. So he uses a simile. He says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven like a dove, as a dove. Not literally as a dove, but like a dove. I've got another image if the guys can show it. That might be more helpful for us to imagine. What it actually looked like is less important to what is actually going on. God the Father is marking his son. He is anointing him as king, as the Messiah, God's chosen one, as John the Baptist says. In the background is another passage from Isaiah, this time Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 verse 1 says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. And amazingly for us, God told John the Baptist that verse 33 in John 1, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, John's baptism was external, if you like. He washed with water on the outside. The washing with water symbolized forgiveness, cleansing for the repentant. In contrast, Jesus' baptism is internal. He washes us internally by his Spirit. He truly forgives us in his death. He cleanses us from a guilty conscience. He makes us right with God, at peace with him. And so we have peace within because we have at peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now, even today, sadly, so much religion is all about external things. Whether it's different forms of Christianity or other religions, including New Age religion, it's often about what you do. It's and don't do, of course, what you do and don't do. And particularly it's about rituals, what you do when you gather as those people, and so on. External religion, whereas Jesus is about internals. He wants to change us from the inside out. Perhaps a question that comes to mind is, how do I know if I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Or more correctly, baptized by Jesus with the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes we are made to feel like we must have some profound ecstatic experience. Some may even tell us that we need to speak in tongues, that is, in strange angelic type language, as the sign of being baptized with the Spirit. But that is not the case. Speaking in tongues is not a must. It is rare, even in the book of Acts. An ecstatic experience is not a must, although some may have such an experience. They may experience great and even overwhelming relief and joy and emotion of being forgiven and washed and transformed. But many don't experience such things. But that doesn't make their experience less profound. It is always profound when a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if that happens over a long period of time, or it happens when you are a small child and you've never had kind of that moment, that experience of conversion. Because this is what we are really talking about here. We're talking about conversion. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, this is only possible, this only happens when Jesus himself works in us by his Holy Spirit to give us repentance and faith. This is what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. So if you repent of your sins, if you are trusting in Jesus for forgiveness, and if you desire to live a new life that is pleasing to God, as the Anglican prayer book puts it, you might have heard those words before, that is the sign that you have been baptized by Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, if this is not you, well, take note of what follows. We're on to point number two, John's disciples followed Jesus. Verse 35 of John 1. Hopefully you've got the Bible open in front of you, or the guys have got the verse up on the screen for you. Verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God," for a second time. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Look and follow. Look into Jesus. Look at him in the pages of Scripture. Meet Jesus in John's Gospel. Don't rely on the world's version of who Jesus is, your preconceived ideas based upon your experience as a child. Look into him as an adult. Don't follow the crowd whose understanding of who Jesus is more likely to come from South Park or something like that. Look at the real Jesus in the pages of Scripture. Engage your mind and investigate. Take up Jesus' offer to come and see. Then, when you are ready, based on the evidence, follow. For those of us who already follow, take note of what happens next in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Do you remember when you first became a follower of Jesus, how natural and easy it was to say to family and friends, "Come and see what I have found"? I guess over the years we have said that to many people, "Come and see." And to some of those people, we've probably said it multiple times. And when the answer is no, many times over, it can be easy for us to give up. But we mustn't give up. Maybe we shift to praying, asking God to work so that one day their answer will be yes. And as we live our lives, God brings us into contact with different people at different times. If our eyes are open and we are willing, there are often or occasionally opportunities for us to say to people, "Come and see." Now, the story of Philip and Nathanael should give us some hope in this, some encouragement, and I'm going to finish with this. We're on the home straight. In verse 43, we read, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Now, I'm sure we've all got that friend or family member or that colleague that, like Nathanael, is a straight shooter, somewhat skeptical, and to be honest, fairly funny. Philip doesn't get put off. "Come and see," he says. "Check him out for yourself. Don't take my word for it." In verse 47, it continues, "When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.'" In other words, there's no pretense in Nathanael. As I said before, he is a straight shooter. Jesus knows that. And he's a skeptic who wants to see the evidence. 48, "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And if you think Jesus' omniscience is impressive, then you ain't seen nothing yet, because see what we read in verse 50 and 51. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Again, another quote from this time the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, a very important passage about the coming Son of Man, the Messiah, who will reign over God's kingdom. So Jesus is fully able to convince people of who he is, which is a great relief. A great relief. Because that means that we don't have to do the convincing. What we do is say, "Come and see, meet Jesus." Some will say, "No thanks." Perhaps most. They will think that they already know him. They will have already decided that they don't want to know him. But there are plenty of people out there who are willing to meet Jesus. So can I encourage us to be praying, just as we did last year in the lead up to Christmas? You might remember the two for two praying for two people for 2 minutes each day, maybe while you brush your teeth or do something like that, something you do every day to trigger a prayer, two for two. Pray that God might give you an opportunity to say to one of those people you're praying for, "Come and see, come and meet Jesus in the pages of Scripture. Come and see him in John's Gospel." Each of these sermons in this series, Meet Jesus, will be for us to see Jesus more clearly for who he is. And it'll also be an opportunity for your guests to meet him. So can I encourage you to do that two for two, and I'll join you in doing that as well. Now, lastly, I also want us to cast the net out to our local community. with a letterbox drop. I still think it is worth our while inviting our community to come and see, certainly each Easter and Christmas, because you just never know. God is fully able to use such things. And with Easter really early this year, at the end of March, now, in the next couple of weeks, is the time for us to get onto this. If we get onto this in the next week or two, we can also invite our community to come and hear Peter Jensen speak over the next couple of weeks, and then beyond that in our Meet Jesus series before Easter. So what I've done is I've printed several hundred flyers and placed them on a table at the back, just around the corner underneath the TV at the back, along with two maps, one of Terry Hills, one of Duffy's Forest. Please take a bundle of the invitations for your daily walk and mark off the streets that you intend to walk on the maps that are on the table so that nobody doubles up. And let's be praying that some, even if it's one, but let's pray that some in our community take up the opportunity, perhaps at Easter, to come and see, to meet Jesus. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your love and mercy you have enabled us to see Jesus and to follow him. We thank you, risen Lamb of God, that you have baptized us with your Holy Spirit so that we are now washed, truly forgiven by your sacrifice, our conscience cleansed, and living a new life, desiring to please you in all things. Help us to be your witnesses by the power of your Spirit, just like John the Baptist, like the first disciples who followed you. Please embolden us to testify to your truth and to invite others to investigate your Son. Work in and through us, we pray, to your glory, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.